Chapter 3. Hoisang doesn't entirely know how to feel about the fact that he has somehow acquired a Chinese sugar daddy. It is both hilarious and frustrating, and also, frankly, hot in a way he wasn't prepared for. And this absolutely was not the plan. The plan was to keep the art separate from his real-life stuff, carrying on from where things left off during that summer in Paris, when he started posting his compositions online and felt safe about how far removed it all was from Weibo and his normal life. His target audience really was not, well, whoever this rich Chinese sugar daddy is. So much for successfully transferring his imagination to a new muse, imagining that he'd caught the attention of some George Clooney-alike sitting in LA or something. It's far too easy to imagine. Well, still, now that they can stop this ridiculous business of both of them stumbling needlessly through English, perhaps his patron will switch to using a mic. If he has a thick accent or a smoker's cough or something, that should stop Hoisang's overactive imagination from latching onto him and indulging in stupid daydreams. He emails the suggestion that their next cam session be on mic, pointing out that it will be infinitely easier to not have to try squinting at words on a screen. His patron agrees readily enough, now that he no longer needs to feel awkward about his imperfect English. And so, when the next session rolls around, Hoisang is excited in a different way. He's still feeling a friction of guilty thrill that he's blurring the lines between his art life and his sex life like this. He's got several cameras set up this time around, and he's taken pains with lighting and elements of composition. Afterwards, he'll look through the footage and the stills and see whether anything interesting happens, anything worth editing and printing. He doesn't know what his patron likes, and that's a little frustrating. But they have plenty of sessions left to figure that out. This time around, Hoisang has set the stage differently. He's framing his body in a crimson robe that picks up on the colors from his fox mask, and he hasn't bothered to close it. He's sprawling on a white futon amidst crisp white sheets, with one knee artfully raised to display the ridiculous diamond butt plug he rather loves, and he has a cock ring in place at the base of his erection. He has the brightest, most fuck-me-now shade of lipstick smeared over his lips, glossy and perfect and completely invisible beneath the mask. But he knows it's there, and it makes him feel a certain kind of way. The floor around the futon is scattered with mismatched fans in red and white and black, and he has carefully arrayed several different dildos and vibrators and several different kinds of massage oil and lube in front of the futon. He's pushing himself up on his elbows with the robe falling off his shoulders, presenting himself to the camera when the light blinks on to tell him that his patron has logged on. There's an audible hiss of breath over the speakers. "Hello again," says Hoisang, not in English this time. "Like what you see?" God, it's so liberating, this whole thing. The mask and the certainty of being wanted. "I do," says his patron hoarsely, and Hoisang's dick twitches. That was only the briefest of sounds, but the register and cadence was not exactly what he'd been hoping for. Or perhaps, more truthfully, exactly what he'd been hoping for. Ah, shit. This is not going to help him stave off the inappropriate fantasy of who could be ordering him around. So much for hopes of a thick Cantonese accent. "Do you want to tell me what to do then, Daga?" he says, because if he's going to fucking torture himself like this, he's going to go the whole way. There's another audible indrawn breath, and when the voice comes again, it's ragged and deep and, oh God, far too easy to imagine it could be Nie Mingzue. "Spread your thighs a little more for me." The voice actually sounds like him, saying things he would never say, but still. Hoisong's ass is tightening around the plug, and his skin feels too hot. God, imagine if it were Ming Tsui watching him like this, wanting him like this. He is going to hell. His mouth is dry as dust, and he has to close his eyes and just breathe for a moment. He's trembling. Yes, Duga, he says shakily, and spreads his legs obediently wider. What would Duga do if he were here right now? If he could do anything he wanted to me? Anything at all? Fuck. This is going to kill him! He isn't going to survive 14 sessions like this with that voice, that perfect fucking voice. He might not survive this one.
I'd take off your mask and I'd kiss you.
Hoisung gasps. That was not what he was expecting. At all. I'm not taking off the mask, Duga, he says after a very long pause.
I know. I'm not asking you to. And I wouldn't force you to, if I were there. I would never force you to do anything you don't want. But you asked.
The voice is softer now, apologetic, tender in a gruff way. It just sounds so like him. There are stupid fucking tears prickling unexpectedly at Hoisung's eyelids.
Sorry,
says his patron, who he will not let himself imagine is Ming Tsui. God damn it.
I didn't mean to frighten you, or sorry.
I'm not frightened, says Hoisung. I wish you could kiss me. I wish I could take off the mask. The pause that follows is fraught with too many unspoken things. And this is not at all the atmosphere he was trying to create, or expecting. He's fucking this up. This guy paid for a sexy fantasy, and Hoisung is ruining it with his stupid fucking baggage. His stupid fucking feelings. He draws a deep breath and reaches one hand to slide from his collarbone down towards his hard dick, stroking it in passing and shivering at the contact.
Tell me what else he would do,
he says, flexing his hips and squeezing his ass so the diamond moves in a lazy circle and sends refracted beams of light dancing around the room.
Kiss you everywhere else,
says his patron, and his voice is fucking hell. This isn't how he's supposed to sound. He sounds reverent, not just horny. He's supposed to say that he'd flip Hoisung over and fuck him with the biggest of the vibrators until he screamed, or that he'd jerk off all over Hoisung's splayed-out body, or not sound like he just wants to worship him.
Everywhere?
Hoisung echoes, helplessly.
Your sweet toes and the white curve of your instep. Your sharp ankles, the backs of your knees, your inner thighs, and your perfect pokey hips, the dip of your navel, your nipples. I'd spend a long time on your nipples, watching you come apart. Your arms, your elbows, your wrists. I love your fucking wrists. Your collarbones, your shoulders, your spine, the dimples above the curve of your ass, your throat with that sweet bulge of an Adam's apple. Your ears, everywhere. I'd kiss every inch of your skin, scrape my teeth over it, whisper your name.
You don't know my name, says Hoisung,
dizzily, and the flood of words stops short.
No, of course.
His patron clears his throat, and it occurs to Hoisung to wonder, a little hysterically, whether both of them are projecting other people onto this encounter. Whose name would this man whisper in his fantasy?
Then I'd call you Dee Dee,
the man says in a stronger voice, and Hoisung shudders. He halfway thinks he could have come untouched from that litany in that voice if he hadn't been wearing the damn cock ring.
Yes, says Hoisung.
Fuck yes, I want you to.
You're so beautiful, his patron says. You're just so... you're perfect.
Hoisung laughs a little desperately. That is so very far from the truth.
What else would you do?
He asks, sliding his hands around his slippery erection and pulling at it.
How would you fuck me?
Thoroughly. says the other voice, almost a growl. And Hoisung laughs again.
God, I bet you would. Tell me how.
I'd slide that plug out and replace it with my tongue.
Oh!
And I'd eat you out until you were sobbing from it, and then have you ride me. I'd love to see you driving yourself down on my cock, see the beautiful long lines of you all tense and taut. So beautiful.
Fuck, says Hoisang, shuddering. Yes, Daga.
Do you have a favorite toy?
Asks, not Mingtui.
Hoisang nods. Would you like to show me how you use it? Would you pretend it's me inside you and show me how beautiful you are when you're writhing on my dick?
Daga!
Gasps Hoisang, almost sobbing with it.
Yes, Daga!
There's a slightly awkward scramble as he hurries to obey, easing the slick plug out and then picking up his favorite dildo. It's one of the lifelike ones, and he thinks that it's, well, not that he's ever seen Mingtui erect, but if he had, he thinks it would look not unlike this.
Good boy, says his patron.
And Hoisang makes a helpless noise in the back of his throat at the praise, splaying his thighs and canting his hips up so the camera can follow the movements as he slowly impales himself on the dildo, moaning a little as it stretches him out and rearranges his insides. It's almost uncomfortably big, but Hoisang likes it like that.
Does it feel good, Dee Dee?
Yes,
says Hoisang, feeling almost shy, which is beyond ridiculous, but he wasn't expecting, when this whole thing started, that it was going to be his fantasies that were being mined and polished and displayed for all the world to see. Not in these sessions, where someone else was making the calls. He thought he was going to feel more distance somehow. He was an absolute idiot.
I bet your face is a picture under the mask, says the man, wistfully. God, you're lovely. So lovely. Take off the cock ring for me. I want you to come when you're ready.
Hoisang obeys, wincing a little.
Good boy. Now show me, Dee Dee. Show me how you'd ride my cock if I were there with you.
And Hoisang shows him. He fucking shows him. He closes his eyes and forgets about camera angles and lighting and everything except the weight buried inside him and the eyes on him right now. And he starts to roll his hips.
Please, Daga, I want your cock. I've always... Please fuck me, Daga. Give it to me. I want you. Only you. I want you inside me, Daga. Fuck. Yes, please, Daga. Fuck me. I don't care if it's wrong. I love you, and I've been so good, Daga. I'm doing what you want. I'm doing what you told me. Please, Daga. Your cock feels so good inside me. Make me yours, Daga. Please. I want it so much, Daga.
The words are spilling from his lips as he slams himself down onto the dildo. And at this moment, as far as he's concerned, this is Nie Mingtui watching him, wanting him. Nie Mingtui, with his hand on his own dick back in his apartment, eyes glued to a screen, desperate to fuck Hoisang. When he finally comes, Hoisang almost passes out from the intensity of the orgasm that tears through him. He drops back onto the futon like a puppet with its strings cut, the dildo sliding halfway out of his body, and his limbs limp and trembling. He got cum on his chin and on the goddamn fox mask, and he feels like he's been ridden hard and put away wet. He really isn't sure that he's going to survive 14 sessions like this.
That was... You're amazing,
whispers Nie Mingtui. No, not Nie Mingtui. Get it right, Hoisang, whispers some rich Beijing businessman with a hard-on for pretty boys and dirty photographs. Not Mingtui.
Thank you, Dee Dee. You were so good.
Oh, God.
In the following week, Hoisang has a cam session every night. His studies are going to suffer, there's no doubt, so he should not be indulging like this. But it's addictive, and he doesn't know how to say no.
So now they've worked through almost half the sessions already, and Hoi-Song is in what feels like a constant state of arousal. This was absolutely not supposed to happen. He wasn't supposed to be developing anything like a relationship with any of the anonymous people looking at his portraits. But he hadn't counted on someone buying up all of the cam sessions, or on that person getting under his skin so completely. And now it's spilling out of the cam sessions, and it's his fault. He's been too casual about using his fanboy account to message his mysterious patron about stupid little things. And now they're messaging back and forth constantly during the day. Like, this is something more than just a simple transaction. And how is he going to just stop when they finished all 15 sessions and the photo shoots? He's carving this man a place in his life, and he doesn't even know who the hell he is. He could be a terrible person. He could look like a troll. But none of that seems to matter right now. He's in way out of his depth. Today, he is even wearing a butt plug because his patron asked him to, saying it would make him happy while he was in boring meetings at work to know that at that moment, wherever Hoi-Song was, he had something filling him up as a stand-in for his patron's dick. That he can just message Hoi-Song and tell him what he'd like to do to him. And Hoi-Song just blithely went along with this and has been in a state of frantic arousal all day in his goddamn classes, like an absolute idiot with nothing more important than orgasms in his life. He should be concentrating on his grades, for fuck's sake. Hoi-Song is a hot mess, basically, and he has no idea how everything got so far out of control so fast. So visiting Nye-Ming Tsui that evening after school, an hour or two before he heads over to his tiny little photography studio, seems like a sensible choice, because it's been a few weeks since they've seen one another, and Hoi-Song needs to just hear his brother's actual voice and help himself compartmentalize. It does not go quite as expected. Ming Tui's face lights up when he appears on the doorstep, and Hoi-Song feels the warm glow of home and safe he always feels around his brother. But he feels a spike of shame as Ming Tui pulls him into a hug because, oh God, this whole thing has really done a number on him. He wants to just stay there in Ming Tui's arms and start kissing him. He almost does, which is fucking terrifying. Instead, he jerks back awkwardly and gives a stupid laugh, wide-eyed and a little frantic.
"Why are you here?" asks Ming Tui, looking at him searchingly. "Are you all right? Has something happened?"
God, his patron really does have exactly this accent and exactly these same cadences to his voice. Hoi-Song is visibly rock hard in his jeans and he's wearing a fucking butt plug. What was he thinking? "No, nothing. I'm just on my way to meet friends and I was in the neighborhood. Thought I'd see how you're doing."
"Well, that doesn't sound like bullshit," Hoi-Song says to himself, despairingly.
Why is he such an idiot?
"Have you eaten?"
"No, but we're eating at the place. Restaurant, it's fine."
Ming Tui frowns.
"Don't you have classes in the morning?"
"It's fine. I'm not staying out late. I'm being a good boy, Duga,"
he says, and Ming Tui gives a tiny twitch that he doesn't know quite how to interpret. Ming Tui swallows.
"Well, good. Can I get you a drink?"
"Just tea, thanks," says Hoi-Song. He pads after Ming Tui into the kitchen, trying not to stare at the tight fit of Ming Tui's jeans or the soft stretch of the gray Henley that clings to his body. He can't remember the last time he saw Ming Tui out of office wear.
"So how's work?"
Hoi-Song is only half listening as Ming Tui starts to talk about the company and the recent issues he's been having with the board. He's too busy trying not to grind his erection against the front of his jeans as the air fills with the sounds of Ming Tui's voice, which is so, so like the voice that has been whispering filthy commands and heartfelt words of worship at him through the speakers for the past few days that his dick just doesn't know what to do with itself. He accepts the teacup when it comes with a grateful smile, nodding as though he has any idea what Ming Tui has been talking about
and trying not to flex his asshole around the butt plug like the absolutely unforgivable pervert he is. He's getting off on just listening to Ming Tui's voice, and that was not why he came here tonight, damn it. Looking for a distraction, his gaze falls upon the phone Ming Tui has lain down on the counter. "New phone?" he says, smiling. "Looks fancy." He reaches down with his free hand and taps it, and gets a split-second glance of the lock screen, which is a perfectly prim and work-safe photograph of Fanboy in a billow of silver, viewed from the back with no skin visible but his hands and feet and the nape of his neck. Hoisang drops the teacup, and it shatters on the polished tile floor, splattering hot tea everywhere. He is, for a long moment, too completely shocked to even apologize. And so it's Ming Tui who is dropping down to his knees and picking up the shards of shattered porcelain. Dropping down to his knees in front of Hoisang, for all the world as if... "I've gotta go," Hoisang stammers, wide-eyed, and bolts.